Hi everyone, my name is Donna and I am an alcoholic. My sobriety date is August 5th, 2000. So for some of you that are day counters, that probably seems like a very long time not to pick up a drink. But the obsession was lifted and the thought of a drink has not occurred. For those of you that are counting days, if you've had more days than you've ever had, please don't just sit around in the fellowship thinking that you're done and that you're okay, because this thing is a beast. And I'm here to talk to you about the steps. There is a solution. It says, rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. But what happens is we do a lot of loitering. We lose people on this path who don't want to take an honest look at themselves. So please, if anything that you hear in these meetings, we're here to give you hope. We're here to encourage you to follow us, to jump on the path with us. Like you, I had no idea what the solution was. I just knew that I was tired of living my life like I was dying. So I only have 25 minutes and I'm on step four. I wasn't here last week to do step three. But when we get to step four, we have to have seen that our thinking doesn't let us see the entire truth. My thinking never let me see the entire truth about alcohol. It kept making me believe that next time would be different. It made me believe that I can only have one and that I'm going to be able to control. I tried to commit suicide 10 years prior to August 5, 2000, and my mind, my thinking didn't say, Donna, that's probably not a good idea. Instead, it gave me more things that I could try to stay in control and not pick up a drink. That was my step one. I was able to see that I could not see the truth. In step two, I was able to see that, wait a minute, I do have a perception about a power greater than myself. I just never really gave it much thought, because I thought that I was responsible for everything in my life. I thought I was responsible for, it's interesting, I held on to a lot of pain because I thought that the solution was that people had to pay for what they did. And so I was relying on my belief, but the thing that I started to realize as I went through step one, that something happened to me that I'm no longer drinking. I realized that I did not just stop drinking. And if you're in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, you are going to start reading. The problem was removed, the problem disappeared. They were relieved of their alcoholic obsession. So I encourage all of you, whether you have a few days, months, or years, please get with somebody that can take you to this big book line by line so you can ask yourself, if I thought like this, if I felt like this, and do I think this program can work for me too? Because you might be overlooking the fact that this power that you're afraid to acknowledge is already working in your life. I was able to see that in step two, that God has already been working in my life. And I realized that it's just the word God that I had a problem with. But I had so many spiritual terms to choose from. And so I was able to have a God that was personal to me. And so I get to step three, and it's like, okay, I'm making this decision, but what am I making this decision to do? I'm making a decision to transfer my thinking and my actions, and my thinking on my own is selfish, self-centered, full of fear. And my actions and my reactions, I'm making this decision. And what I was able to see, if God is caring for me, well, what happens when I have a pet and I leave town? What are the qualities of a caretaker? Reliable, dependable, going to show up when they say they are, they're honest. Well, I looked at that in terms of this power that I was going to rely on, because trust and believe, I was not going to pick up the pen relying on the same mind. Let me see the truth about alcohol, the same mind that wants me to hold on to stories that are just doing nothing but keeping me in pain. I believe that most human beings carry pain way past the expiration date because all my mind does is remind me of what you did, remind me of what you didn't do. And that's the kind of crap that made me pick up a drink because I need some ease and comfort. And my mind is doing everything but giving me ease and comfort. And so I'm willing, and the decision is just a decision. There's this joke. There's three frogs on a log. One makes a decision to jump in the water. How many frogs are still on the log? Three, because a decision is just lip service. So if I'm really going to transfer my thinking and my actions over to God, that means that I'm doing that because I need to know that I'm not doing this inventory on my own. And I also was able to see that this inventory is not a threesome. It's not me, my mind, and God. And I was able to see, well, wait a minute, my mind always was working against me. Why am I going to rely on my mind to let me see the truth? It didn't make sense. So I was willing to set aside what I thought I know. You guys say the set aside prayer in this meeting, set aside everything I think I know, which is a problem for human beings because all we want to do is be in control, especially alcoholics who that's all we've done was trying to control alcohol. Control, 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 control. I come in here and you tell me it's not about control. What? You mean to tell me everything that I've been doing, I have to undo and be okay and not know? How do I do that? So I had great teachers. My first teacher, Loretta, sponsor, and I call my sponsors teachers because this is a whole new life, this spiritual life, because that's really what we're on. We're on a spiritual path. Whether you know it or not, like it or not, this is a new life. When you're in the big book, I want you to underline or highlight every time you see the word new. So if everything is new life, new foundation, new, why do I act like I'm supposed to know? My ego was so arrogant. Don, you're not supposed to know something that's new to you. So this is a very humbling process. Am I willing to believe that I don't know and I need God? God, please set aside because I can't set aside because I come in judging, I come in afraid, I come in thinking that I don't need to do this work. I come in and I'm on step one and I'm thinking on step nine. Jesus Christ, Donnie, you're only on step one. So Loretta said, okay, now that you made this decision, immediately you go into step four. And she said, I want you to put pen to paper and I want you to say a prayer. God, please set aside everything I think I know and let me see who I'm angry at. Who annoys me, who pisses me off, who bugs me, who I'm holding a grudge against. See, because the word resentment is not a word I usually use. You know, I didn't use the word resentment until I came into AA, but damn it, I know who I'm angry at. I sure enough know who pisses me off. And I'm like, well, how do I know I'm done? And she says, when the pen stops writing. So I didn't think about who I was angry at because if I started to think, who was going to go on that paper? I'm setting God aside. Remember, I told you, God, please take my thinking, take my actions, and give me so I can rely on your power so I can do the inventory. If I start thinking who I'm mad at, well, God, get out of my way. I think I know. So I was willing. See, the thing is, I was willing to believe because of the people that God had presented to me that were on this path. I knew that I wanted what they had. And if they were showing up with the kind of attitude, with the kind of demeanor, with the kind of whatever, I can't even word name what they had because of their character. I was willing to follow directions. So I did that. I said a prayer and I put pen to paper and I just wrote. For the first time, I was able to hear self-talk. See, I had been asleep to my mind. Telling me I got to be afraid of this and what if this and what that. Because as I'm doing this inventory, all of a sudden I can hear myself tell myself that I don't have time to write inventory. I can hear myself tell myself, oh, you need to get up and get a glass of water. I can hear myself tell myself, oh, it's too much. I can hear self tell me everything in opposition to the spiritual path. So as I'm writing the inventory, A name comes up, I can hear my mind tell me, oh, you're not really mad then. Why are they on the list? First time I did inventory, kindergarten came up. I'm 45 years old. I can hear my mind tell me, oh, well, why do you get? But I left it. You know why? Because what I learned in step one, my mind was never my goddamn friend. I'm sorry, I don't mean to curse. I was able to see that my mind was never there to protect me when I needed to protect, you know, self-will. Self-will always failed me at the time I needed it the most. I'm gonna make sure I don't pick up a drink. Self-will, self-will, self-will. Self-will failed me because every time I kept picking up the drink. So now I'm realizing, wait a minute, there's a pattern here. No, mind, I'm not gonna rely on you to do this work. So I was willing to trust. If I'm asking God to reveal who should be on the list, I was willing to start relying on God. I'm so grateful I didn't take kindergarten off the list. I saw at a very early age that I was mortified and embarrassed if you laughed at me. See, the nun had put a diaper on me because I had wet my pants. And I was mortified because the kids were laughing and I was pissed at her. And I was able to see, Donna, your behavior in life has not changed since you were in kindergarten. I was able to see the pattern of my thinking. See, I would have taken it off the list because my mind's, oh, you don't need to see that. And so I was able to do inventory to look at my beliefs. See, I wanted the world to show up the way I wanted the world to show up. I couldn't see that perhaps you couldn't. See, there's a big difference between wouldn't and couldn't. You change the letter, that first letter of that word, they won't, they wouldn't. No, Donna, they couldn't. I was able to see not just my truth, I was able to see the truth of humanity. A human being not relying on the spirit within is selfish, self-centered, don't care. It's all about me, 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 me. I also saw this was powerful. I need you. And that's, I lived my entire life needing. I sucked the air out of the universe how much I need. Need, need, need. I need you to love me. I need you to respect me. I need you to honor me. I need you. I need you. I need you. But guess what? I'm not giving nothing away. I was able to see how selfish and self-centered I was, and I expect you to not only live your life, but to live my life too. Wow. Wow. I was able to see how many regrets I carry in my life. I regretted not going to college. I don't even realize that that has so much depth and weight that if I'm around people who are smart, all of a sudden I think I'm less than because I've got this belief system that I'm not good enough because I didn't go to university. But see, my ego doesn't want you to know that. So I act like I'm this big, great, big, such and much. I was able to see my behavior. I was also able to see how much fear ran my life. See, because fear gets intensified because I believe that I need you to show to treat me differently. And if you don't, I'm afraid because what am I going to do? Because I need you to be so, a certain way with me. I'm also get just as fearful when you do do the things I want you to do and I still don't feel better. Damn. When I look at my relationship, that sex inventory really should be a relationship inventory. And even in that, God, please enable me to see who should be on my list so I can see my behavior in relationships. Trust and believe, more than just intimate partners are coming on that list. My cousin Maritza came on the list. And again, my mind is, why is she on the list? But I kept it. And this was a recent inventory. You know why she was on the list? My selfishness and self-centeredness. I asked her if it was okay if a boyfriend at the time could move in. And she said, okay. And it was supposed to be for a short amount of time. Well, guess what? I extended it. I didn't ask her permission if it was okay if he stayed. When I went to make amends to her, I asked her, how did that make her feel? She said she felt like a prisoner in her own home. And she was also worried about me because the boyfriend at the time turned out to be a heavy drinker and he was stealing her booze. So now, not only am I not caring about her, I have her worried about me. I'm so glad God made me put her on that list. I also was able to see in the sex relationships, it's interesting in the big book how they have these two paragraphs, right? And for those of you that are not in the big book, please get in the big book. First paragraph talks about all the different ways that we view sex. Because a physical is very easy for me. It's the emotion. I don't know how to communicate. So I can be physical in a relationship really easy. But the part that I didn't really focus on is how I'm treating you. See, I realized that I used people the same way I used alcohol for a sense of ease and comfort. I don't want to be alone, so I need to be in a relationship. I tell you that I love you because I need you to believe me so you stay with me. See, I had been so asleep to my own behavior because I was so busy looking at you. I'm judging you because you're not how I need you to be. But never once did I realize, Donna, perhaps these people are like you. They're doing the best that they can without relying upon their true self within true spirit. I didn't take a lot of time writing inventory because I get very uncomfortable when I don't write. What I would do when I was working, I would always take my inventory and I would take a couple of sheets and put in my bag because, see, that third step, God, please, I'm trapped from my thinking and my actions so I can do some stuff that I've never done before. And I tell you, there would be moments in time where time would just open up and I felt led to go write. See, if I wait until I get home, my ego has too much opportunity to tell me, oh, it's late. You don't have time to write. And I would believe it. I've done a lot of inventory. There was one person that I had to do inventory a lot because my mind just would not let go of my anger towards this person. It wasn't until I was at a silent retreat when my mind was quieted enough that I heard deep down within that this woman wasn't doing anything on purpose to hurt me. She was driven by her own ambition. And I was able to release that anger. I also thought that people had to pay for what they did. So if I couldn't get you to pay, other people was going to pay. So I was taking my anger out on innocent people. And I realized that nobody had to pay, and I got free because I don't know when a person has done some things to harm others. I don't know what their conscience is like. That's between them and God. But I also was able to see that there are some of us that are victims of generational dysfunction from generation to generation. See, man will hurt man. And the only thing he's concerned about or she's concerned about is who finds out. How many of us lived in households where it was like, don't let nobody know what goes on in the house? Are you kidding me? We treat each other like crap, but we're only concerned about the neighbors knowing. I got a lot of empathy after doing step four. Like I said, I just didn't see my own shortcomings. You know, because see, my ego can look at your behavior and judge you. It looks at your personality, your behavior, and judge you. But see what happens, we start seeing beyond the personality and the behavior, and we start seeing that the great reality, God is within all of us. Whether we rely on God or not, God is still within each and every one of us. And I was able to see that my ego is real crafty. It loves to look at your behavior and judge you and diminish mine. I'll give you an example. You know, I think it's horrific to take advantage of defenseless people that can't fight back. And people usually do that with children. Children can't fight back. And my ego can stand on a picket line and really cry out that that is so wrong. But I realize that I can also be a bully and I can also show up in power with people that can't fight back. When I was in high school, I used to look for the people that were weak, the people that I knew wouldn't fight back. And I would look for the skinniest, and I would, and it would be a guy, a skinny guy, you know, those pocket protector guys that look like they're really good in science, but they're not really strong. And it didn't matter that there were people standing around. Usually the more people that stood around, the better, because then I looked tough. I would go in that person's, that kid's pants pocket and take out his wallet, take his money, take his bus pass. You thought I cared how embarrassed that kid was? I just knew that it made me feel like a great big such a much, because I was able to look better about myself. But look who I picked. I picked somebody who wasn't going to fight back. And so I was able to say, Donna, who are you to judge anybody who uses people that can't fight back to get what they want? And I was able to say, I'm no more, no less than even a person who molests children. I saw that in inventory. I was very humble. I don't have the right to judge. I don't. I used to, my mom, oh my God, my mom was on every inventory. I hated her, I hated her, I hated her. As I was writing inventory, I saw my mom from God's perspective. I saw that she had to go and she went to the typewriter to teach herself how to type, because my father gambled, and I guess she was tired of wondering if he's going to bring the paycheck home. So she taught herself how to type so she can get a job. As I was writing inventory in my fourth column, where was I selfish, self-centered, dishonest, and afraid? All of a sudden, I saw images of my mom the way God wanted me to see my mom, and I was very humbled. I also saw that my mom doesn't have to apologize. Maybe she's asleep, because my mom was a very mean mom, but who can blame her? She was married to a man that wasn't bringing the paycheck home. And they said, when mama's unhappy, everybody's unhappy, right? But it's like, I don't know if one day my mom gets to a point that she's starting to look at her own life, and maybe God does to her what God did to me and said, my child, you did the best that you could without relying upon me. And perhaps to comfort my mom, who feels that maybe she could have been a better mother, maybe God's saying, look, don't worry, I have Donna. Who should bear witness? Maybe my mom feels better about what she couldn't do because she saw that God did for me what she couldn't do for me. I don't know what people's experience is going to be in life when they do like I do, get to a point they're humble enough to admit that on our own we're not enough.
2 minutes, please.
All I know is I wanted to be free. And the work I do in step four is going to prove beneficial when I get to step 10, because see, I become awake to, I couldn't see the truth and the lie. I thought I needed you to be how I needed you to be for me to be okay. I stayed in relationships because I needed somebody to blame. I'm unhappy. I'm in the relationship so I can blame you for why I'm unhappy. And I stayed because guess what? I was afraid if I left the relationship and if I was still unhappy, then what? I used people, I blamed people. I can't see the beauty in life because I'm too busy holding on to the story. It's the story that creates the pain. And I held on to pain way past the expiration date. Maybe some pain was necessary for me to seek freedom. Maybe something I had to go through a period of time, but trust and believe, I kept holding on to it because I thought you were the solution. So please don't be afraid of doing step four. See the truth and the lie of who you are not. See, the mind does this, but then what? What if? How am I going to know? Your mind will always have those questions for you, but we get to a point that we realize that it doesn't matter what we know or what if. Either God is everything or God is everything. What is our choice to be? See, God is no longer nothing. And I'm going to get to that later down in the steps because I had a real powerful experience. Because there's some things in my life that God is everything, but then God is nothing when I think I'm supposed to figure it out. But can I sit in a hallway, comfortable in a hallway with a bunch of doors that are closed and not jump up and try to open the door? Can I sit until the door opens? That takes a lot of practice. It takes a lot of perseverance and it takes a lot of program. But we do get to a point, trust me, that you'll be able to sit in the doorway of life knowing that you're safe and protected and a place of neutrality, and you are okay if you have what you think you need or if you don't have what you think you need, because you'll realize that you do have the thing you need. You've always had it. So I hope I didn't confuse anyone, but if you're like me, when I came in the beginning, people were saying some things and it kind of made sense, but didn't make sense. Don't worry if it doesn't make sense. This ain't about catching up, it's about catching on. But you got to be on the path with us. Don't mess around and just think that you got this time. Join us. My number's in the chat. You can call me. All of us that have been here for a long time, we're available to you. That's why we're here. I'm here for me, and I'm also here for you. And I know that I have no more time. Thank you for allowing me to share.